Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org. All right, well, welcome to today's teaching. And today, the time of the year that we are recording this, this is the beginning of the Advent season, Advent 2023. And I'm not sure when you'll be watching this, but that's when we are recording. This is the first message in the 2023 Advent series. So we'll encourage you to keep on listening all through the Advent series and all through the Advent season. There'll be today, and this particular series is just a three-parter of the first three Sundays of December, the 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th of December 2023. December 24th, Christmas Eve, this year is also a Sunday. I will not be speaking, but Cameron, the youth director here at Shanghai Community Fellowship, will be speaking and as a part of that same series on December 24th. So that's what's kind of coming up. He's part of the same series, but yeah, we'll just leave it at that, that he's a part of that series. Now, the name of the Advent 2023 series is We Shall Behold Him. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my own Christmas tradition. I tend to not as a hard and fast rule, but just kind of my own internally imposed guideline. I try not to start listening to Christmas music until the U.S. Thanksgiving. And if for no other reason than, if it doesn't have an official start, then and I live in China, even in China, but especially in the U.S., they start playing Christmas music, it just seems like earlier and earlier every year. So I could be listening to Christmas music in September. Maybe one year it'll be August. I don't know. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's no law that says you cannot listen to Christmas music anytime you want. But that overwhelming wave of Christmas music that doesn't seem to stop. I just say to myself, okay, we're going to have to just have a start for this. And it just seems to me, personal choice, that right around the last week of November is the time to start. And by the way, a few days after Christmas, it's over. I enjoy it. I like the songs of the season, and some of the other things that go. A lot of the other things that go with it as well. Now, of course, you probably by now know that the Christmas season is not the same thing as the Advent season. And okay, maybe you didn't know that, but and we'll be talking a bit about that today, because this sermon series is about Advent, and we'll unpack that in just a few moments. But Christmas, what has become known as the Christmas season, which has a lot to do with the elf, jolly elf Santa Claus, and Christmas trees, and holiday parties, and gift giving, and all the things like that related to those seasonal elements. Again, it's very different from the Advent season, although they obviously overlap. All right, so to capture the difference, I picked out two songs. One song from the Christmas season that I think pretty much captures what the Christmas season is all about. And then I picked out a song from a typical song from the Advent season. And I think you're just in the lyrics to these two songs, I think you're going to get where I'm coming from. All right, so I picked out this song that Becky and I listen to every year. It comes from the Andy Williams Christmas album. It's a Christmas album that she listened to when she was a child, and that kind of captures those childhood Christmas memories for her. I have my own childhood Christmas favorite album, the Johnny Mathis Christmas, A Winter Wonderland, but I'm not quoting from him today. I'm going with the Andy Williams, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year song. Just to me, a typical Christmas season song. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you, hey, be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings. And when friends come to call, it's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting and marshmallows for toasting. There'll be scary and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of the Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year by Andy Williams. Now, here's an Advent song that I think captures the message of Advent. O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. O come, O bright and morning star, and bring us comfort from afar. Dispel the shadows of the night and turn our darkness into light. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Advent is the start of, actually, in the Christian calendar, the start of a new year. It's not just the season. It's more than a season of the year. Advent is the way, or the word that we describe the time of the year that begins the entire new year. So I could also be saying to you right now, Happy New Year, because the Advent season kicks off the Christian calendar. And we begin this new year every year by doing the same thing, and that's by waiting. The Advent season begins and introduces us and reminds us that we are a people, as Jesus's people, as Christ followers, that we are a people who are waiting. Of course, that begs the question, what are we waiting for? And what we are waiting for is Jesus. We are waiting for Jesus to come. And we're doing more than waiting, right? Because it's also a time of the year that where we remember and recognize that there is a yearning within us, and there is a longing, a deepening yearning, and a deepening longing for something more. Awaken a yearning and a longing that is awakened not by the news that there is going to be yet another temporary truce, which is good. But this awakening takes us beyond just the good news that there's going to be another temporary truce. This is an awakening to something much, much more. And that much, much more is something that you can hear in the promise that is made through the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. I hear it in the promise of a different kind of human experience, where we read in Revelation 22, where death is undone, where tears will be wiped away, and nations will be healed by the leaves taken from the tree of life. A different time where children don't die from cancer. A different time where people are not oppressed and abused. A different time where people love each other and keep their promises. What we call heaven is a universal expectation. Everyone is waiting, no matter where you live or what language you speak. Everyone is waiting for something better. As author Tish Warren said, our deepest longing is that beauty and hope and truth will endure, and that evil and sorrow and death will not. And this is our hope. It is a hope that cannot be separated from Jesus's coming glory. And that phrase, Jesus's coming glory, and our hope for his coming glory, helps us to see the very heart of Advent. Jesus is coming in glory. And the message of Advent is within the text of Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4 from the New Testament. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. You know, the Christian life, the life that we are living in following Jesus, is a process that we are all going through of having our lives moment by moment and day by day and year by year, as long as we're on this planet, being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And how does that happen? By constantly being in I love this word, fellowship, constantly being in relationship with Jesus, and by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. This transformation is going on inside of you and inside of me as we stay connected to Jesus and our faith remains in Him. We move, as the Bible says, from glory to glory, or from one glory to another, which is just a cool, picturesque way of describing that transformation that is happening in us. Remember, when Jesus came into your life, He came by the Spirit, and that Spirit began on that day the process of change in you and me. We are really becoming different people of a new nature. So much of that change, yes, we can see it. So much of that change, people who know us would say, wow, you're not the same person you used to be. But much of that change is also hidden in Christ. And it's also hidden to us as well. We know that something is happening. We know that we are changing. We know that we're being transformed, but we know this by faith in Jesus. Sometimes it's just too hard to look in the mirror and see you and say, hey, there's that transformation. I see it yesterday. You know, my heart, my mind, my worldview, my thinking, my spirit was like this, but today it's a little more like Jesus. Sometimes it's really hard to pick that up in the mirror. So by faith, we believe that we are a work of God's grace, His handiwork, as it says in Ephesians 2, His craftsmanship. That's us. That's you and me. We are His craftsmanship, the work of His grace. And what will be opened in the end at His will enable us, as well as everyone, to see what has been hidden and known only by faith now becomes known to all. Captured, all of this captured in the ancient phrase from the Book of Common Prayer, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Advent is, now we know, about holding two things together in our hands at once. Holding two things in our hands. I've got my hand open and I'm holding two things in my hand at one time. I am holding at one time the knowledge and the experience that Christ has come. At the same time, I'm holding in the same hand the expectation and the knowledge that Christ is coming again. We're holding these two things in our hands, and they are both overlapping each other. And you and I end up living in the time between. The time between Jesus coming before, the time we celebrate at Christmas, here's where they overlap, and the time that Jesus is yet to come. So we find ourselves as followers of Jesus in this world, living in the time between what has already happened and what has not yet happened. The time between empty and full. The time between what is incomplete and the time where all things will be made complete. The time between things that are perishing and are perishable and waiting for the day where nothing will perish and we will be in the eternal presence of our eternal God. The time between dishonor and glory. The time between our weakness and our power. Advent is also the collision of the ways that we look at the world. Advent is more concerned with the vast cosmic battle that is going on right now. It's more concerned, Advent is more concerned about that cosmic battle, that spiritual battle that is happening right now, than it is jumping in the sleigh with Santa and dashing off with a couple of reindeer and off to grandma's house. It's about the end of one age and the beginning of another. Advent is about the coming of God's kingdom and the heavens and the earth meeting together in my space as it once was. There's a story that comes from the time and life of Jesus where Jesus meets a man We know him in the Bible, Mark chapter 5, is a Gerasene demoniac. And he meets this man, and this man is not suffering from mental illness. This man is not suffering from a lack of a good education. This man is not suffering from poor economic status. This man has been possessed by a demon. And what Jesus does for this man is he steps into that time of in between, that time where the worlds are clashing, where the spiritual world of darkness is clashing with the presence of the kingdom of light. And this man has become the battleground of that battle. And Jesus has stepped into his battle and he delivers him. The story of the Gerasene demoniac is a story of an exorcism of a supernatural evil spirit that has entered this man and is controlling him. And his encounter with the kingdom of light, with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the person of Jesus. It's the story of this man's immediate and absolute deliverance because of the immediate and absolute presence of the sovereign King, Jesus himself. Jesus is sovereign over the demonic and this demon, and his freedom is the point of this story. Advent is about this cosmic spiritual battle that is going on right now, and we are in it, and we are a part of it. And we have been rescued and pulled out of the kingdom of light, or out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Advent is about comfort. Advent is about comfort for those who can no longer just gloss over the pain of their lives, the disappointment, the anger with a happiest time of the year or a Merry Christmas, how are you? I think it's something Scrooge said in you know, they come from what we would call a nonprofit. I think Lewis Carroll did not know that word nonprofit, but they're raising money to help people who are poor and vulnerable, and so they come to Scrooge, who's well known in the community as being very, very wealthy, and so they've come to him, right, to ask for his a donation, and Scrooge says, you know, I don't make merry myself at Christmas. And I can't afford to make idle people merry either. Now, Scrooge, he also got caught up in the frustration of glossing over the pain and the tragedies and the difficulties and the disappointments of Christmas. But for Scrooge, his answer was just to become mean and greedy. You know, that's the way Scrooge responded to this resistance to the glossing over of how most of us really live. Because Advent is a reminder that there is a comfort for those of us who need comforted. There is a comfort for those of us who are not experiencing justice and who are not experiencing peace this Christmas season. Advent is a reminder to us that there is a place where justice and peace are rightly married to the righteousness of God and his judgment. Justice and peace are wonderful concepts. And justice and peace are something that we would applaud anyone who would want to give effort to bring justice and to bring peace. But the message of Advent is that both justice and peace cannot be separated from the righteousness of God, the creator of all things, the divine supreme being, God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his final judgment. Think, if you will, of the most perfect, without bias, merciful judgment, because we all want that. We all want someone to step in and say, hey, this was wrong. It needs to be made right. And this is how that's going to happen. And this is when that's going to happen. We want a right and just judgment. The world wants a right and just judgment. And that right and just judgment is coming in the person of Jesus Christ, justice and peace married to God's righteousness and judgment. Advent gives us the strength that we need. And listen, it's not a strength from a sugar cookie. You know, I'm not a nutritionist, but I know a few things. And I know that sugar is going to give you an immediate high and is going to give you an immediate boost of energy. Woohoo, look at me. I feel like I could run a marathon right now. Yeah, I just ate a dozen sugar cookies. But the Advent strength that we're talking about here is not like the temporary strength of the sugar cookie, but of the substance of a strength to face our growing an eternal strength, a strength that will not fail, a strength that is anchored in the person of Jesus Christ, a strength, as I said, that will help us face our growing fears, the twists and the turns of life, the setbacks, and a strength that will allow us to even face death. So that we are a people, as Jesus people, who do not grieve as others grieve. Yet we are comforted by the knowledge that our Savior, who we are following and who we are waiting for, has himself conquered death. And so when my time to die comes, when I'm facing my own death, I can know and have the confidence that I'm following the one who has walked through death to the other side of death and waits for me in victory. We are the ones who are following the one who conquered hell and the grave. And he, Jesus, is coming back. The essence, or rather the season of Advent, is not only an awakening to the certainty that Jesus is coming again, but it also means acknowledging that he has already come. He's already come, and he's coming to us today. Of course, Advent is going to take up the past. That's what we do often in the Christmas story. When we get past Santa Claus, at least, we get to the point of the story where Jesus has come, where God has incarnated himself by coming in the flesh to be a human being, to take on our life and to live within the context and the limitations of our life and to take on our sins so that we might be free from those sins and be in relationship with God once again. Advent reminds us that Jesus has come, and what he has done and what he has come to do, the ransom that he has paid, and what we enjoy now because Jesus has already come cannot be taken, should not be taken for granted. Advent, as I said, takes up the past, Christ's first coming, and also takes up the future in Christ's second coming and leaves us between these two comings with the present. In fact, Advent almost insists that we live in the present, not lost in the past, lost in old stories, or not wandering around all dreamy-eyed in the future, but with the full weight of Christ already come, his life, his birth, his life, his death, resurrection, and ascension, and the full certainty that he is coming again, we are left with the present just as God would have it to be. We proclaim this every month here at SCF when we celebrate communion. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we say these words from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God with us means that God is with us now, not in a faraway time. Romans 8:18, Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Advent is the perfect time then to ask, where do we see the Father at work today? And how can I join him? Advent is the perfect time, the opportune time to see the Father at work today and invite him in his work. Advent is a time to ask, what would it be like, what will it be like when Jesus comes, not tomorrow, but today? Now, as we move toward the close of this talk today, and just a couple more minutes we'll have together, I thought it would be good to take a look at something that Jesus said about his own coming. In Mark 13, verses 32 to 37, Jesus said about his own coming, about that day or hour of his coming, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. No one knows the day or the hour that Jesus is going to return. Be on guard, he said, therefore. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come, whether in the evening or midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. The point of this simple parable is simple enough. Be ready to wait. Be ready to wait. Every revelation captured in the church calendar, for example, including the Advent part of the church calendar, which we are recognizing today, was preceded by a time of waiting. Here at Shanghai Community Fellowship, if you're watching this, SCF, and maybe you're on this, and you'll watch this, but if you're watching it, especially in its context right now, here in December of 2023, you know that here at SCF, we have been in a time of waiting. What to us has felt like a long time of waiting, right? You know the story. The end of 2019, our friends at Hung Shan Community Chinese Church said, hey, the building is going to go under renovation. It'll be a year and a half before the whole thing is complete. You guys are going to have to wait for a year and a half before you can come back and worship in this place. Well, as we now know, that year and a half turned out to be almost three and a half years. And even after the end of the renovation project and the pandemic and all that went with it, we waited almost 3 years and 10 months before we could return to our spiritual home. But I have this to say to you, Shanghai Community Fellowship, as you are watching today. Our time of waiting may not be over. We are in Hung Shan Church building again. Yes, that is true. And that's great. We're loving that. We're grateful to be able to be in our spiritual home. That's a blessing to us as a community. But now is not the time to relax. Now is not the time to relax and say, okay, this is it. The waiting is over. Just this part of the waiting is over. Because we are not there yet. We're not there yet. Getting back to Hung Shan and into that spiritual house was not the goal. There's something else. And we are waiting. It is Advent, and it is a time to wait. There are things, Jesus said, that are going to make it harder to wait. So I share those with you. Because as I said, this is the season of waiting. And we ought to know that waiting is going to be hard. This particular kind of waiting for Jesus to come, is going to be hard. And it's all of us. We are all in this season of waiting for Jesus to come. So it's a good thing that we listen to the words of Jesus, also from Mark chapter 13, on what it means to wait and why it's so difficult to wait. He said, while you're waiting, you should know that there are people who are going to come along and say that no need to wait anymore. I found another way. There's a shortcut. There's another way. It's not Jesus' way, but it's a better way, someone will say. They're going to offer what is to them and to the temptation to say to us, there's a better answer. They're going to say, this is not the end of the world. You don't need to wait for the end of the world. There's a better way. Jesus said there will be people who will come while we are waiting who are going to say that they have come from him or that they are him. And we're going to be tempted because we're frustrated and we're tired of waiting to go in a different direction and pick up a shortcut and get off of the way that Jesus has called us to. And it is a way of waiting on him. Jesus also said that we should be careful and be warned that in our way, we're going to hear about wars. We're going to hear about earthquakes and famines. We're going to hear about natural disasters. And these things are going to be terrible. They'll be horrible. We all know that. In our lifetimes, we've have personally experienced or somewhere in the world we read about or know in some way are connected to a horrific natural disaster or war. Even now, our world is at war all over the world. These things are terrible and bring great suffering. But there will always be people who will say that this war or this natural disaster means that the end of the age is upon us. It's the end of the world. But don't be fooled. Keep on waiting. Although these things bring great suffering and they are tragic, these things, Jesus said, are actually like the pains that are associated with giving birth. The baby has not come. Jesus has not returned. Don't mistake the pains of childbirth from the actual birth of the child himself or herself. Keep on waiting. Keep on waiting. Jesus said, thirdly, that in waiting, we are going to experience opposition and we are going to experience persecution. As his followers here waiting for Jesus to come, we are going to experience being opposed and we are going to experience being persecuted for the sake of Jesus. There's always going to be, and there always has been, hostility toward Christians. If you are a Christ follower today, then you know probably already what it's like to experience hostility because you are following Jesus. You are with him in the kingdom of light, whether that's organized by the state or locally organized, somebody, a group or whomever, and where you live is organizing some kind of a odd and vicious and mean-spirited opposition or hostility toward Christians, or tragically, sometimes that opposition and hostility and persecution comes from other Christians. And of course, it's always coming from the powers and principalities of darkness. But there will always equally be grace to endure and an end to the suffering. Stay until the end. Like they say in the movies, stay until the end. Advent is the time of year. In fact, it's the perfect time of the year for us to ask the question, will this be the year of Christ's coming? Will this be the year between Advent 2023 and Advent 2024 that Jesus returns? Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.